morning, verse 17. Well, now I'll go ahead and read verses 18 and 19 also. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. And before we read, I'm a little bit sore this morning. My legs are a little bit wobbly. See, I took Tara to the father-son dance last night over at her school, and I realized that in doing the electric slide and all those other things that I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'm feeling it this morning. So if I move funny, you know why. 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines unto thy hand." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of your destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I feel a special touch and anointing on this word today. And Lord, if I deliver it in a way that you gave it to me and you enable me to, I know it will be a blessing to your people. I know it will strengthen them in their most holy faith. And Lord, it will build them up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I humbly ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do that, knowing in and of myself I can do nothing. But Lord, I'm asking for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit today. In our hearts and in our lives. Take your word. Take this message, Lord, and indelibly inscribe it upon our minds and upon our spirits. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We hear so much coming over the Christian media these days about our destiny. And so many times when a person speaks of their destiny, more often times than not, it's been my observation that that destiny has been formed by that individual. And they're encouraging other individuals to form whatever destiny they feel that they want to achieve. And then somehow you should bring God into that and ask God's blessing upon that, and God will fulfill your destiny. Well, that's really not what the believer's destiny is. There's two areas of the believer's destiny. There is a very general destiny that the Bible speaks of. And that is for every believer, the Bible wants us conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to live a life that is sinless before Him, which can only be achieved by faith and the finished work of the cross, and exclusively in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is the general destiny for every believer. But destiny is formed by God. I want that to sink in from the outset of this message. Destiny is not formulated by man. And I'm speaking specifically in the sense to the believer, to the child of God. Destiny is formulated in the mind of God before you were ever in your mother's womb. He had a plan for you. Sometime back, I was in a discussion at work with some people, and they were talking about cloning. And they had said, "Oh, do you know they can clone a human being now?" I said, "No, they can't." And I know they can clone cows and pigs and things like that. That can be achieved. Man will never clone another man. And I'll tell you why that is. Because man can't create a spirit. Only God can create a spirit. And hence, when God created you in the portals of glory and created your spirit, He gave you at that time a destiny that He was going to put that spirit in a body and send you to planet Earth. And the destiny is determined by God. And that's the trouble we get into with human pride sometimes. People want their destiny. They want the world to look at them and see how great they are. They want to achieve something great in the eyes of men or have other men look up to them as if they're something special. But when the destiny is determined by Almighty God, and you realize that God determines where He wants me to go, and you humbly submit to that way and to that direction, you have just set yourself on a course of eternal blessing that will bring untold glory into your life. And when we speak of destiny, I feel to reiterate it again. It is God who determines the destiny, what He sent you to planet Earth for. People are going to try, and Satan is going to try to do everything he can to prevent you from fulfilling your godly destiny. He'll use human pride against the believer. He will use force, all the force he can against the believer. But here is what I want to emphasize, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants to put across this morning. As long as you submit your life to God's destiny for you, nothing will stop the fulfillment of that destiny. Nothing. Nothing. I quoted the scripture before we took up the offering about the prophet Amos, whose life is a tremendous study in allowing God to fulfill the destiny that he has planned for a life. Because Amos was born as a poor farmer. In those days, they had schools they would send the prophets to, and prophets were usually sons of other prophets. But God singled out this farmer named Amos and said, I've selected you to speak to nations. And Amos said it best in the beginning of his prophecy. He said, and the Lord God took me and made me a prophet of the nations. You don't want anything outside God's destiny for your life. You may think you do, but you really don't. Because anything outside of that is outside of the plan of God for you. And so many, as I said, they allow pride to creep in, and they want to seek the grandiose things that this world can offer. And they lose out on the tremendous blessing of fulfilling God's destiny and the security of being in God's plan as He takes you to where He wants you to go. When you think of the nation of Israel, there is no reason, no logical reason in the world why Israel should be existing this day as a nation. When one considers all that these people have gone through, the Jewish people, down through the ages, there is no logical reason at all why there should be a Jew on the face of this planet. Haman tried to destroy them in the book of Esther. Hitler tried to destroy them in World War II. But man has not been able to eradicate the Jewish people from this planet against all of his efforts. Why? Because God destined that nation. He said, these are going to be my people. I have chosen these people to deliver my word to the entirety of the world. Through this people is going to come the Messiah, the one who will redeem not only them, but the entirety of the world. That nation has a destiny determined by Almighty God, and nothing could ever stop that destiny because God's hand was on it. As we look through the Bible, it's replete with examples of how men gave their life to follow God and the destiny that God had chosen for them. I think of Abraham. Well, you know, you want to talk about somebody, and I feel I got to stop here, and I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me. Satan's lied to some of you. He's told you because of a failure, because of a sin you've made, you've gotten out of step with God, and there's no chance now to ever get back in and ever get back to that place you were in God to go on with what God wanted you to do. Let me tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The life of Abraham stands as a stark example that that's a lie. Because Abraham was a big liar. He was. Lied twice about his wife. Said, this is my sister, because he was afraid of his own getting killed himself by heathen kings. But you know something Abraham did? In spite of all of his stumblings, in spite of all his failures, the book of Hebrews tells us Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. What does that mean in essence? It means Abraham kept his faith in Jesus Christ. He kept his faith in the coming Redeemer. And let me tell you something. God is able to overcome human failure. Glory to his name. That sends chill bumps up and down my back this morning to know that God can overcome human failure. As a matter of fact, human failure is one of the easiest things for God to overcome. So don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you, well, because I made this mistake or I committed this sin, God's angry at me and I'll never get back to where I once was. That is a lie. If you get in the destiny of God and you'll repent and come back to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me, he'll pick up with you right where you were and he'll make it as if you never got out of step. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. It happened for Abraham. Abraham was destined to be the father of faith. And to look at Abraham in the natural, none of us would have selected him for such a task as that. I mean, here's a guy who publicly lied twice. Now think of that. A self-righteous modern-day church, most of the Bible greats would not have been accepted in many of our churches. Would you have selected the Apostle Peter to preach the first Pentecostal message after he had publicly denied he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, before a huge crowd. I don't even know who he is. But Peter had a destiny. And Peter went back and repented. And God picked up with him. And this poor, scared fisherman stood up and boldly declared on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts the first Pentecostal message. When God's got a destiny for you, I need to quit stumbling and just say it and say it quick. If you won't quit, he won't quit. You'll never get out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I felt the Holy Ghost light up that word. If you won't quit, he won't quit. He's able to overcome your failure. He's able to overcome your sin. If you'll give it to him, he'll turn it all around and make it like it never happened and restore you to a place that was farther along than you would have been as if you had never gotten out of his will. That's the glory of following God's destiny for you. And not giving up, because tough times and failures are going to come. Because to a person who really wants to obey God and fulfill God's destiny for their life, I'd like to stand here and tell you this morning it's just going to be smooth and pie in the sky trip, and everybody's going to love you, and people are going to hug your neck all the time and tell you how wonderful you are. Friends and family will praise you for your piousness. And no, it's not going to be that way when you set your mind to follow God's destiny. Why? Because now you have just set yourself at odds with the enemy of your soul when you've made up your mind to follow God's destiny and submit your will and your life unto God's destiny for you. When we read this morning's text about King David, when Israel first began to cry out for a king, God was not inherently opposed to Israel having a king. Matter of fact, the Bible even plainly delineates that Israel was going to have a king. But God wanted to be the one to select that king. What got Israel in trouble with the Lord on this issue was why they wanted to have a king. We want a king so we can be like other nations. That was the problem. Not the fact they wanted a king. It was their motivation for desiring that king. And in that desire gone wild, as they continually cried out to God and the prophets, saying, give us a king, God finally said, I'll give you a king. And Saul, the first king of Israel, came into being, but he was a king of the people. He was the people's choice and not God's choice, because in their hurry to become like other nations and to get what they wanted, they did not really seek the Lord as they should have. And God, to teach them an object lesson, gave them Saul, who did a very poor job of being king. And it was very, very easy to get Saul on the throne of Israel when the time came. There was no wars. There was no infighting. It was very, very easy to put Saul on the throne of Israel. Now you ask, why is that? To look at it from a natural realm, you'd think everything flowed easy. It went smoothly. Obviously, God is in this. Isn't that the way we think most of the time? Situation's going smooth. There's no trouble. Man, it just worked out slick as a fiddle. God obviously must be in this. God wasn't in putting Saul on the throne. I mean, he was behind it. I need to say that better than that. He was behind putting Saul on the throne. But he was not behind the direction Saul went after he got on the throne. So Saul chose to go away from the Lord and go another direction. It was very easy to get him there. Why? He was man's choice. Hence, the object lesson I want you to see in this is there's going to be very little opposition when you're moving outside of God's will. The opposition to your life is greatly going to decrease when you're outside of God's will. That's why so many people choose to go that path. Because it will. It will decrease. Satan is not going to oppose someone who doesn't have their faith exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. He's not going to take the time to oppose an individual like that. Why? They stand to do his kingdom no harm whatsoever. As long as their faith is in a TV preacher or in a plan of man, he will even aid and abet such. Because it stands to do him no harm, and that individual is out of God's destiny when they choose a path outside of faith in Christ exclusively. That's why it was so easy to get Saul on the throne. But when the Lord made his decision after Saul had disobeyed him on so many occasions, God said, I'm going to find and select my king now, a man after my own heart, and I'll see that he gets put on the throne of Israel. And what happens? All hell breaks loose in the life of this little shepherd boy named David. Why? Because he's God's choice. This man is God's choice to sit on the throne of Israel and to do the will of God. Have you ever had it happen? And I know most of you in here have. When you made up your mind to fully go after Christ and follow the message of the cross, in your life, Satan came against you like he's never come against you before. Why? Because now you stood as a threat to his kingdom. Satan knows that a person living in the destiny that God has for them in Jesus Christ is going to affect his kingdom and be a continual reminder that his kingdom is defeated. And he hates that. And he will oppose such. Hence, when it came time to get David on the throne of Israel, it was through many dangers, toils, and snares that David finally got to the throne. Several times, King David could have very easily been killed, even at the hand of Saul. But here's what I want you to see, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to see in this today. When you're walking in God's destiny, not your destiny, when you have submitted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow you no matter what. When the hard time comes, I'm going to keep walking. And it's going to be that way sometimes. Sometimes you're just going to have to keep walking when you don't feel God. You feel like he's a million miles away. That's where real faith is birthed. When you say, Lord, I know you love me. I know you gave your life for me. And I do not understand what is transpiring right now. But I know I'm following you. I have committed to following you. And I will not quit. I'm going to keep on walking. Do that, child of God. Sun's going to burst through on the other side. The storm will end one day. And you'll know and look back on it that God was there all the time. See, King David nearly lost his life several times. Saul was never in any danger when he was ascending to the throne. But yet David nearly lost his life several times. But he had a destiny that God had determined. And God was going to see to it that David got to where God wanted him to go. There's a great lesson in that for you and I this morning. If we submit our lives to God's will and God's destiny for our lives and know that he is the determiner of it, then God is going to take you where he wants you to go. and your mistakes aren't going to stop it. The opposition of the enemy is not going to stop it. Backslidden churches and religious people aren't going to stop it. God is in control, and God will fulfill in your life what He wants to see done. So get out of this feeling sorry for yourself, feeling like, well, I'll never get back, I'll never be this, I'll never do that because I did such and such years ago. Know this, your God is great, your God is a God of mercy, and He will cleanse you and set you back on the right path again and take you farther than you ever thought you would go. Hallelujah. Don't listen to the lie of the devil who's telling you, no, I'll never make it. I'll never get back. My life will never be restored. My life will never be the same again. Oh, that's a lie. That's a lie. God is able to do anything. Hallelujah. But David finally made it to the throne. As I said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we read in 2 Samuel 5:17. And when David gets to the throne, what's the first thing that happened? Everybody throws a big party and tells David how great he is. Nope, first thing that happens, the Philistines gather to destroy him. And the Valley of Rephaim, as soon as they hear, Israel's got a king. Now when Saul was made king, no armies came against Saul. Nobody garnered their forces to say, we've got to stop this Saul from becoming king of Israel. But with David, God's choice, it was different. They gathered in the Valley of Rephaim and they said, we've got to stop this man. Satan was behind that. Satan was behind that. So not only once you start to flow in the destiny that God has for you, don't think it's going to be a peaceful existence. We might as well know this as believers, and I know this ain't going to make nobody shout this morning, but it's truth and it's good preaching. We are going to have to fight in Jesus Christ the forces and powers of darkness until the very second we're called home to glory or we're raptured out of here. It's going to be that way. Get this out of your head. You're going to have total peace in the sense of from fighting the enemy and him coming against you if you're going to fulfill God's destiny for your life. Because it's going to happen just like it happened in the life of David here. Once you really begin to flow in it, then really look out. That's when the forces of darkness are really going to come against you as a believer. And if you're like me, I pray you're not. But if you're like me, you're a little bit babyfied. And you're, Lord, I'm just trying to do good. I don't know why all this is coming against me for. Oh, it must be out of your will, Lord. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Think of that. No. That can't be the attitude we take if we know we're fulfilling God's destiny. David didn't, but I want you to look what David did. Look, I want to read it to you. I think I could quote it, but I want to read it to you to make sure I get it right because it's so important. Look at 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. But when the Philistines heard they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. And went down to the hold. There is your answer, church, right there. When the enemy comes against you as you're trying to fulfill God's destiny, you've got to go down to the hold. What is meant by the hold? The hold meant it was literally a place of safety, is what the word literally means. A place of safety, security, and solace. More than likely, it was a special room or even a cave, if you will, that King David retreated to often to spend time with the Lord. What am I telling you? When the enemy is coming against you and you know you're walking in what God's called you to do, you know that you feel His pleasure in fulfilling the destiny that He's called you to do and perform in this life, you've got to get into the hold when the enemy comes against you. And what is your hold? The cross of Jesus Christ. Run to the cross, hallelujah. Find your security, find your safety, find your solace in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's where we run to. That's our place of hiding. The Bible declares in the book of Colossians, our lives are hidden in Christ. Jesus is your place of safety. David knew that. David didn't immediately go out and try to fight the Philistines. He knew that he could not overcome them except God was with him. And he went to the hold. I don't know where you're at this morning, and I don't know how hard the powers of darkness are coming against you, but the Holy Ghost has a word for you right now, and it is get to your hold, and your hold is the cross of Jesus Christ. Run to it. Renew your faith in it, and know that your God is able to overcome anything that the enemy fires against you. Don't look at the power of the force that is coming against you. Look at the power of the one who has already defeated that force. Glory to God. Get to the hold this morning. Get to the hold. And after King David gets to the hold, symbolic of the believer retreating to the cross of Christ and saying, Lord, I renew my faith exclusively in what you've done for me. I'm sorry I've drifted from it. And maybe you haven't drifted. Maybe you're just afraid, as David was. This should have been the happiest time of David's life. It should have been the most glorious time of his life. But as soon as he's put on the throne, this enemy comes against him. But David had the sense to run to the hold. He went to the cross, his source of strength and power. He knew to do that. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Bonnie and I had evangelized for years, traveling to different churches, preaching, and God had really blessed us. God had given us tremendous success in a lot of our efforts in the evangelistic field. And for years, I told everybody, I'd say, oh, you ought to pastor. I'd say, it scared me to death, the thought of pastoring people. I like popping in, preaching what the Lord had on my heart, and then getting out of Dodge. Everybody, oh, you ought to pastor, you ought to pastor. And deep in my heart, I thought, man, I hope I don't ever have to do that. Well, then there came that day, and Bonnie, we never will forget it, when we left Boeing to accept our first pastorate. And so help me, on that first day of my pastorate, I have never seen things spiritually come against me, except one other time, like they have when I accepted that pastorate. I'm serious. It was virtually overnight. I mean, I had a music director that lost his mind or something. I don't know what happened to him. But he started trying to garner the church to get me ousted as pastor before I even got in. And I remember Austin was just a baby. I think Tara was about 2 or 3. And Roger showed up at my door that morning all excited. He knew I was getting ready to head to the church. And he was glad, hey, my brother-in-law is the pastor now, you know. I said, Rog, can you watch the kids for me? I got to get up church. He's like, what's going on? I said, Sheldon's going around calling everybody and telling them that I ought not to be pastor and he ought to be made pastor. But I'm telling you that story to prove to you this. I didn't understand it then. I do now. I was starting to walk in God's destiny for me, and Satan wanted to try to destroy that. Just like with King David. Just like, think of the situation in your life. When you know, and you know it, because God's not going to keep it secret from you what he wants you to do. Think back of when you made up your mind. You know, Chris, not to embarrass you, I really thought of you as I was preparing this message. Because I know for years God's hand was on Chris to be a youth pastor. And I know it's something he wanted to do. And God's call was on him to do it. But for years he was suppressed and held down from it by religious forces. But all of a sudden he made up his mind to follow this message of the cross. And I know all hell came against he and Jessica and their family. But Chris held on to it. He made up his mind. I know I'm going to fulfill God's destiny. And look what he's doing right now. He's a youth pastor. He got there. Man couldn't stop it. A backslidden church couldn't stop it. Even anything. Nothing could stop it. It was God's destiny. Nothing could have prevented King David from ascending to the throne of Israel, because it was God's destiny. I feel to press it so hard, God is going to take you where he wants you to go. If you'll just submit to him and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And it's not always going to be pretty and pleasant. As I said, David, the first, you'd think it would have been a joyous, happy time, but it's not. But he knew where to run to. And he sat there for a while until he heard from God. Now let's go on and look at verse 18. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And verse 19, And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them unto my hand? Now there's your answer right there. After David's been in the hold, he's went to the cross, would be the vernacular for the modern day believer. Now he asks the Lord, Do you want me to fight this battle, Lord? And he no doubt did this, inquired of the priest through the use of the Urim and the Thummim, which were two rocks that were held behind the priest's pouch just over his heart, symbolic of decisions being made to follow God or not follow God, emanating from the spirit of man. And King David went to the priest and asked the question, Does God want me to go and fight these Philistines now? And the priest walked in the Holy of Holies before the Lord and stuck his hand in and pulled out one of those rocks. And on those rocks were basically a yes or a no, the Urim and the Thummim. And that priest walked out, and the priest would hold his hand shut because the decision was only for the king to know. It wasn't for the priest to know. And King David inquired, Shall I go fight these Philistines? Lord, will you give me the victory? There is the key to our victory. None of the victory belongs to us. None of it belongs to you and I. So many times I've seen Christians arrogantly beat their chest and say, I'm going to quote enough scripture to scare the enemy away, or I'm going to give enough to get out of this financial situation, or I'm going to do some act. I'm going to. That's not the attitude. The attitude is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when you get the answer from God and that priest walked back out and opened up his hand in front of King David's eyes, and that answer was yes, you go after it. I'm going to surely give you victory. Because David knew if victory was going to come, and he was going to maintain the flow of walking in the destiny that God had for him, God had to be the one to win the victory and give it to King David. Church, know this. No matter what stands against you this morning, no matter how powerful it is, I can assure you of this. The Holy Ghost is saying to you, you go fight, for your Lord has already given you the victory. How and where? When he bowed his head that day on Calvary's hill and said, it is finished. Every obstacle, every situation, every demon power, every backslidden Christian, every religious force was defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in the hold of the cross, victory is yours because he's already won it for you. And if you'll go to him in grace and in humility and ask him, Lord Jesus, shall I fight this? Will you give me the victory? His answer is from your high priest in the portals of glory. His answer is yes, I've already won the victory. And I give it unto you. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. The danger is when we get out of God's destiny and we form our own. That's why King David was the most successful and the most beloved king Israel would ever have outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. David made many mistakes along the way. David committed murder. David committed adultery. But know this. No matter how great a sin we may fall into as God's children, I'm not talking about people that don't know the Lord. I'm talking to us as believers right now. No matter how badly the mistake, no matter how vile the sin, if there's true repentance there, God will overcome that. David, a murderer and an adulterer. Were David in the modern church, they wouldn't even let him in the door. Most of them wouldn't. Really, you know how self-righteous the modern church is. He's that adulterer. He's that murderer. But this adulterer and murderer sat down one day as his heart was broken for his sin. And you're not repentant until your heart is broken over your sin. You can mouth all the right words and say all the right things. But until your heart is broken over your sin. David's heart was broken. He realized that he had sinned against God. He wasn't so much of the repentance that goes on in the modern church. It's just worried about keeping the individual looking good and keeping it hid from everybody around them. That's really what most of the modern church thinks repentance is. As long as you come out of it looking good and you keep it hidden and suppressed, everything's okay. Just mouth the right words, Lord forgive me, yes, Jesus' blood cleanse me. But they haven't had their heart broken over their sin. King David's heart was broken. And how do you know that? Because King David brought forth fruit from his life that showed he was repentant when he wrote the 51st Psalm. Which if you ever want to read how to repent before God and what true repentance is, sit down and read the 51st Psalm. Lord, I and I alone have sinned against thee. It wasn't, well, it's their fault over there. I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for them. Or if it wasn't for her, she made me, she caused me to do this. Or it was because of his saying this or that, that's why I did it. No. Real repentance is the total abasement of oneself, accepting full and in toto the responsibility for that sin, whatever it is. King David knew that. I and I alone have sinned against thee, O God. And then he went on and wrote, but cleanse me, and I'll be whiter than snow. And in spite of all of King David's failures and sins, God never took him off the throne of Israel. Now I want you to think of that. Maybe you failed God this week. Maybe you've committed a sin this week. Maybe it's happened in time past and it was so great and so grievous and so heinous that you felt he'll never restore me. He'll never take me back to the place I once was in him. That's a lie. That's a lie. God never took King David off of the throne. David suffered over his sin, but God never took him out of his destiny, which was to be king of Israel. And he was today, outside of course of the Lord Jesus Christ, King David was the greatest king Israel ever had. And King David probably failed greater than any other king Israel ever had. But yet God called him, this is a man after my own heart. That should make us all shout. To think that a man who was a murderer and an adulterer, that God Almighty would call him a man after his own heart. That should make us all shout. What that shows us how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is to cleanse from sin. That it so eradicates the stain of sin that is on our lives that when God looks at us, he can say, there's a person after my own heart. You see, we're all people after God's own heart when we're in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. My Lord, I don't know why anybody wants to hear anything but the cross of Christ preached. It's beyond me because there's such glory, there's such grace, there's such mercy, there's such forgiveness, there's such cleansing, there's such power in what he did for us at the cross. And it's us abiding in the finished work of the cross that guarantees God taking us to where he wants us to go. In spite of our failures, in spite of our sins, to be sure we must repent and repent right. But when we repent right, there is never a shortage of grace or mercy or cleansing. I want you to think of that for a minute. No matter how greatly we may fail him, no matter how we may slip and fall into sin, if we'll come back to him and say, Lord, I and I alone have sinned against you. I made the choice. You know, as I begin to close this message, so many worry about what man thinks of them. And I was guilty of that for a long, long time. And I don't get me wrong. My goodness, I want people to like me. Yeah, I'm not some kind of social masochist. I want people to like me and love me. I love people. But before I knew and understood Christianity and the message of the cross and how God designed for us to live for Him, I would worry so much about what other people thought of me. You know, that was the main thing in the church. And I've been in churches, pastored some churches, where that was the mindset of most of the people in it. Go out and live however you want to live. Do whatever you want to do. Just make sure nobody finds out about it and you stay looking good. Now, that's how most of the modern church equates repentance. Well, if you came out of it without looking bad, you got away with it, you're okay. Just don't come out of it looking bad. You know, sad thing is, you can do things like that. And from man's perspective, come out of it looking pretty good, like you never did no wrong, and still have man applaud you. The only trouble with that is God will not let you out of it. God won't sit by and applaud it. And it so liberated me when I learned to become more concerned with what God was thinking about me than what a person in a pew was thinking about me. Man, that liberated me. Because let me tell you this. The Bible says it. If God be for you, who can be against you? Really? If God is for you, who or what can be against you? And if you allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate in your heart and renew your mind to where you're the Lord, I'm worried about what you think about me. I don't care so much. I mean, in the sense of whether they know what's going on in my heart and life or not, anybody else in this world, it doesn't matter. Lord, I know you'll treat me right. That's why King David, after one of his great failures when he numbered Israel, and you think, well, what would be the sin in that? Because kings numbered their armies so that they could brag on them and say, my army, I have the biggest army. And God commanded in the Old Testament for Israel to never do that. But yet David did, and it was a heinous sin before the Lord. To look at it on the surface, you'd think, well, what's the big deal about numbering your army? There was nothing inherently wrong with numbering the army. Again, it was the motivation behind why King David did it. So he could swell with pride and say, look at the army I've built. When he had nothing to do with building that army, God built it for him. And it caused Israel great consternation, and a plague went through the land, killed some 40,000 people over the sin of one man. You see, that's it. We always get deceived and think our sin's not going to affect other people. It does. Sin is so heinous and so ugly and so mars everything it remotely touches. That's the deception in it. We think we can play with a little bit of it and we can't. But even when we do and we make that mistake and pay a high price for it, King David always came back to a place of sacrifice. The one thing he did after he had numbered Israel and caused 40,000 people to die because of his action, he went and built an altar and made a place of sacrifice. What's, of course, that's coming back to the cross. The place of sacrifice. Where King David knew, again, God will cleanse me. As I close, two things, and I'm not even halfway through this today. I'll probably have to finish it next week. And fulfilling your destiny. God is the one who's chosen your destiny. Nothing will stop the fulfillment of that destiny as long as you walk with the Lord. No matter how bad or how bleak it gets. And I've got to stop. I'm going to share with you as I close now. The Lord poured this through me this week. God's got a destiny for Crossway Community Church. He didn't raise this thing up just to have a little group of people sit around on Sunday morning and have church. He raised us up for a purpose. And he reminded me in a very general sense that the destiny of Crossway Community Church is to remain faithful to the truth of God's Word and remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to do. And all throughout the Bible, God always initially gave just a very general picture of what he was going to do when he gave a person their destiny. The specifics were worked out as that individual or that group of people walked in faith and kept their faith in him. and it was lived out before them before they reached the fulfillment, the true and total fulfillment of their destiny. I'm telling you this. He hasn't given me the specifics on it, but God is getting ready to do some great things here with this church. I don't know how far He's going to take us, but I just want to make sure He's the one taking us there. Because I know it'll be good. I know it'll be great. I know it'll spell blessing for every family and everybody connected with the church. And I'm not saying we're the only church, but I'm saying this is the church we're in. This is where God planted us. So God is speaking specifically to us this morning. And I believe He's saying, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. I have overcome. Don't worry about the past. Your future is bright in Me. And if you'll keep your faith in Me, I will take you and I will fulfill your destiny as a church and your destiny as individuals. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I've got to admit, I told you I had to do some repenting this week. I had to repent over ascribing too much power to man. Because I'm going to get personal now. Since I've been this pastor of this church particularly, the devil has haunted me. And I know it's been him. Continually telling me, your name's too marred in this city. There's been too many lies told on you that people believe. No one will ever accept your message or accept you as pastor now. Or no people of any consequence. But I'm not going to go into it too deeply. Many of you know. There's been events that have come out here in this city lately that I believe has vindicated me at my former pastorate and has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Pastor Browning was not the problem there. His message was not the problem there. The problem was there was unrepentant sin in the camp that was running rampant and running wild. And you know what? God raptured us out of that mess before judgment fell. God took us out. I thought, what a perfect example of the rapture to all who wanted to follow Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. God got them out of there and judgment fell. I'm telling you, God's got a destiny for this church. Hallelujah, I feel that with all of my being. And I don't know the specifics of it, but in general I know what we're supposed to do. Whether we ever get our own building, whether we ever grow past 50 or 60 on Sunday morning, we are to follow the Word of God and submit ourselves to the power of the cross of Jesus Christ and let the Lord God take us and fulfill the destiny of this church. And I don't believe it's for us to stay in a rented building. I got to be honest with you. The Lord scared me this week a little bit because He said, what if I gave you 1,000 people? It shook me. Because let me tell you something, folks. Most of you know what I've been through. And a lot of you went through it with me. I got it pretty well made right now. I mean, when you're in ministry full time, it's scary. Especially when the Lord's calling you to preach things and say things that you know most people ain't wanting to hear. Now, that's not the case over here. But at one time it wasn't. When your income is dependent upon upon how many people are going to give. It's scary. I'm human. But time and time again, the Lord told me and He showed me, you preach what I tell you to preach and I'll take care of you. And He's done that. He has done that. He has done that. He has done that. And I thought, oh Lord, if You gave us 1,000 people and we exploded in growth, it'd mean I'd have to quit the cushy job I've got right now. I mean, cushy in the sense that great working environment, great place to work, tremendous benefits. I'm going to give you a flip side of the view of the pulpit here for just a minute. Most of you are on the sound of my voice. You don't know what it's like to have to pay $800 or $900 a month for a health care plan that won't even fill a prescription. I've been there. You don't know what it's like to know week to week. Many of you don't. Am I going to get a paycheck this week? Because what the Lord gave me to preach made a lot of folks mad. and they're leaving or they're not giving now. That's scary. That's scary. But the Lord had to take me back, and I had to repent over it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for ascribing all that power to man. If you take us, if that's your destiny for Crossway Community Church, I praise God for the families that are going to be saved and healed and delivered through the message of the cross. And Lord, if you call me, if you take me there, as long as I know it's you, I'll walk away from that job tomorrow again, Ravon and I will. I'll do it again, Lord, just like we did at Boeing. As long as I know it's you. I'm telling you this, I don't know where God's going to take us. But I want you to know this, and I want you to be assured of this as your pastor. I'm submitted to that plan. Whatever it is, when God provides and makes a way, for if he calls me back into it full time again, and it's able to be, or he's saying you do it now, I will do it again. Because I know what's on the line. Lives are on the line. Families are on the line. There's people in this community and sitting in backslidden churches in this community that so desperately need what this church is preaching. Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the answer to every problem that the world is facing. And we've got that answer right here in this little seemingly insignificant body, but it's not insignificant to God. Apply this to your personal life as we close. Keep walking with Him. Keep walking with Him. Shannon, I know you know what I'm talking about. I've watched what God has done in your life, and He's not through yet. Take this as a prophetic word from the Holy Ghost this morning. You know this is rare for me to do this. He's just getting started with you, Shannon. He's just getting started with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not is the word of the Holy Ghost to you today. For the Lord your God will take you where He wants you to go. But that word's really for everybody. When it's Him taking you, there's going to be blessing. But when it's Him taking you, there's going to be opposition to it. Know that. There'll be tremendous blessing in it. There'll also be tremendous opposition to it. But there's God allows it to be that way. As a test of our faith to see, are you really going to trust me? When it seems like you've lost everything in the world that's near and dear to you, are you still going to walk with me? And when you pass that test that God's given and you've shown, Lord, I'm sold out to you. You're all there is for me in this world or in the world to come. My, the blessing that's going to flow. But there'll also be tremendous opposition to it. But like King David, he knew victory was already his if he went to the right place. Get to the hold, get to the cross, and let the Lord renew His victory in your life. You've got a destiny, and the Lord your God is going to take you there as long as you keep your faith right and anchored in Christ and Him crucified. Would you stand to your feet? As I said, I'm not even halfway through with the message. I'm going to have to preach part two of it next week. But I appreciate your time and attention. I knew it took a while to lay the foundation for it. Some of you right now, you're in the battle of your life, or it's about to be. You see the armies of the powers of darkness have come against you. But I want to close with the story of a great American patriot by the name of John Paul Jones. It was during the American Revolutionary War, and John Paul Jones was the most brilliant of admirals in the fledgling American Navy. Well, one day while at sea off the coast of Massachusetts, three British ships overtook him. And they began to fire on his vessel. They damaged it greatly. Some of his men were killed. And I love this because this should be the fight that every Christian, or the cry of every Christian when he's in a fight. They were very cordial, even in battle, the soldiers were to one another in those days. Not out to totally destroy one another once they saw the battle had been won. There would always be an opportunity given for surrender. And one of the British captains yelled out to John Paul Jones, seeing that his ship seemingly had no hope and was going to go down. He said, "Sir, would you like to surrender your vessel to the British Navy?" John Paul Jones took his sword out of its sheath and raised it in the air, symbolizing to that general, "I refuse your offer of surrender." And he called back to him and said, "Sir, I have not yet begun to fight." And he ultimately sank all three of those British vessels. Hallelujah. What's the application of that to you and I? Jesus Christ has already won our victory. You might be blown to bits. You might have holes in your ship, and it may look like it's going to go down. But oh, never forget who's on the boat with you. Glory to God. You have the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of you. Look at those powers of darkness. Look at those forces coming against you. And raise your spiritual sword, and you don't want to tell them, "I have not yet begun to fight." No, 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 no. You want to tell them, "My Lord has already won this battle." Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, I feel that maybe some under the sound of my voice, they've drifted. They've strayed away from you, or else the enemy has so taken a mistake or failure and convinced them their situation is now hopeless for you to ever restore it. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, for you by the power of your Holy Spirit to pour fresh hope into those hearts. I'm asking you to pour the victory that Jesus Christ has already won for them into their hearts. And I want to ask you the question this morning as we stand here. Are you right with God this morning? Are you right with God? There's only one way to be right with God, and it's not through your works. It's by faith alone, by trusting in what Jesus Christ did at the cross alone. That's the only way to be made right with God. If you answered my question with any other statement, when I asked you if you were right with God, other than, "Yes, I'm right with God, because my faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ." That's the only right answer. That's the only thing that can make us right with God. If you cannot answer that question in that way, I want to tell you, you're not right with Him. Trying to be good or trying to live a good life still causes us to fall short of God's standard. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." That means nobody can meet God's standard, but Jesus did. And that's why He became a sacrifice on the cross and shed His blood as a sacrifice and rose from the grave so that by faith in what He did, we could be made right with God. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you one more time, are you right with God? If you're not, the Holy Spirit has engineered this day and this moment for you. And I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I promise you that. Nobody's going to embarrass you, ask you a lot of personal questions. Nothing of that nature. But if in your heart you know you're not right with God, and you want to be, you want to be, would you just slip up a hand right now unashamedly? I promise you I won't embarrass you. Are there any at all? "I'm not right with God, but I want to be. I'm not right. I want to be." Hold it up high. I'm not, every head bowed and every eye closed. Please, no one looking around. It's not our intent to embarrass anyone. Are there any at all? "I need to be right with God." But I'm going to ask everybody who would you come and present yourselves around this altar this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you today, dispense your Holy Spirit into the hearts and lives of your people. In a very specific way, we're asking for the movement of the Holy Spirit this morning. I believe it's within your will. To everyone who has been feeling like my failure, maybe years ago or maybe even this week, is going to never be fixed. I'm never going to be able to live past it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, first of all, I pray for that individual. And if that's you, I pray you've allowed the Word of God this morning to penetrate your heart. And you've allowed the Holy Spirit to renew your hope. To know that God is able to overcome and keep you in the destiny that He has for you. Your failure can't stop it if you'll repent. If you'll repent of it, even your failure, even your sin can't stop the fulfillment of the destiny of God in your life. Whatever situation may be coming against you, it could be financial, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual, whatever. God has already, through the vicarious atoning victory of Jesus Christ on the cross, He's already won the victory for you. And He'll allow you to walk in it if you'll come to Him, just like King David did. Run to your hold this morning if that's you. Get in that hold and say, Lord God, what do you want me to do right now? He may just tell you to sit there. He may tell you to go on out now. Just do whatever He tells you to do. He's able to speak to you and He will speak to you. I assure you that He will speak to you. You're His child. He's not one to keep a secret from you. He wants your victory. He wants your destiny fulfilled as much as you do. He determined it. He's the one who determined what He wanted you to do. And the dateless past. And He'll take you there. Michelle be in here right now. Where is she? I just want to pray for her. Okay. I'll wait until she gets back. Thank you, Lord. Just bow your heads a moment in the presence of the Lord. Holy Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, today I come to you. And Lord, you know the work that needs done in our hearts and lives today via the person of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I know you didn't have me preach this message. You never do, just to be saying words. There's somebody or some people that needed to hear this today. Lord, renew the joy of their destiny. Open their spiritual eyes to show them that your power and your presence is able to overcome any opposition that is coming against them. Any opposition, no matter how fearful, no matter how great it may be, you have already won the victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us, even sometimes when we give up on ourselves. Lord, we renew our commitment to not quit, to keep walking with you in spite of the fierce opposition, in spite of failure, Lord, which is so easy for you to overcome. We praise your holy name today, Lord Jesus. Shelby, I want to pray for you this morning. Would you come here? Some of you girls and ladies, do gather around Shelby. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, Lord, I believe you to touch this young lady in her body and to heal her in every area. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, you have a destiny for all of these teens in this church. And I know you've got one for Shelby, Lord. And nothing's going to stop the fulfillment of it. And we believe you now in the name of Jesus for complete healing of her body. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, I ask you to touch Michelle today, Lord. Father, she needs a touch today from you. And Lord, the enemy has been coming against her in ugly ways. But Lord, let her rejoice in the victory. Let her run to the hole this morning and feel the re-energizing, reaffirming power of the Holy Spirit today in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch Amanda today, Lord. Lay your hand upon her today. Father, in the name of Jesus, minister unto Tara today, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, let the power of God overshadow Cora. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, give her divine strength, give her divine energy, And Lord, let her know you have a destiny for her, and that as she walks with you, you'll fulfill it. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we praise you today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Mark, would you come here? I want to pray for you this morning. Some of you men gather around Mark. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you'll renew Mark's spirit this morning. And that, Lord, you'll cause him to know you're able. You're able. And that, Lord, though the opposition has been great, and there may not be an end to it in sight right now, you're able. You've already given Mark the victory. And nothing will stop the fulfillment of the destiny that you've determined for him and his family. Bless them now, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dave and Connie, would you all come here as a couple? I want to pray for you all this morning. I just want to pray for you all and your family. Would you all lay hands on them? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, today we come to you. And Lord, I'm having them stand in for Pastor Brian this morning. In the name of Jesus today, Lord, your hand is on this young man. His destiny was determined by you, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to keep your hand on Brian, as I know he's retreating to the hold. I know Brian is running to the cross right now. And Lord, ultimately his life is going to be put right on track because he loves you, Lord Jesus. Just bless Dave and Connie with the peace that your hand is on their family. And as a family, their destiny will be fulfilled. Give them that peace. Give them that assurance of victory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Maybe I didn't lay hands on you today. Don't think nothing of that. This message was for everybody today. This word that's come forth and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have operated, they're for everybody. No gift of the Holy Spirit is ever just for one person. They always build up the entirety of the body. And maybe I didn't point you out like I did Shannon, but don't think that word from God was nonetheless for you. That God is going to fulfill your destiny. The Lord God is going to take you where he wants you to go as long as you keep your faith anchored in Christ and him crucified. Praise God. Boy, it's been good to be in God's house today. Amen. It's been great having you. I know we got a few visitors this morning. We welcome you. Hope you've enjoyed yourself. If you don't have a home church, try us out for about 4 years and see if you like us. But God bless you all so much. We'll be on Wednesday night. We're going to pick up our study in chapter 11 of Daniel. We went through a very difficult portion of the book of Daniel this past week, and I promise you it'll pick up and become more focused. But in a very general sense, we had to go over and see how specific the Word of God was and how accurate it is in predicting the future. So be with us on Wednesday night. I can't think of anything else we got on the horizon that I need to announce. I feel like I'm forgetting something. We're just in the dead of winter now. Not a lot going on. So hopefully we're through with snow. Amen. I should have preached that. That's the biggest amen I got all day. It's good. Been good to be with you in God's house this morning. Ned, would you come dismiss us in prayer?